I'm hoping this is working. I know I don't have near bolder votes as Ronnie's. Ronnie's guy. Yeah, he sounds like he's booming me up a little bit already. So that's good. He does a great job for Pete. I think he's probably thankful he has him for a grandson. We are continuing. It's kind of I guess sort of unusual. Not totally unusual, but sort of unusual. That Jason isn't here. Hopefully it's nothing serious. But I am going to continue in this book of Philippians 4:13 and look at that. I'm going to actually start just a couple verses before that, and then I want to go over to 2 Corinthians and talk about, I think most of us are familiar with Paul, but I think sometimes when we think about his life, think about his sufferings that he endured, think about some of the things that he was able to accomplish, that it's a good thing to look at and to think about him as one of those examples. Before this conference and how we kind of came up with this theme, there was a guy that passed away this year, maybe it's a little bit last year, I can't remember now for sure. Was it this year? His name was Miller, wasn't it?
Gerald.
Yeah, Gerald Miller. And he had Jim and Jan, I think, had written a letter about his testimony and how he had went before the Lord and told the Lord he was serious and he wanted to know the truth that was in the Scriptures. And he was willing to do anything to find out that truth. Well, the Lord ended up revealing the truth to him, and then some things started happening in his life. He used to have Bible studies in his home, and people kind of quit coming to that. Eventually, even his wife left him. And so he went to the Lord and said, why did you reveal this truth to me? And the Lord told him, because you asked me to. And so he said, okay. And he never murmured or complained about that again, but he just lived a life that was just kind of focused on serving the Lord, putting the Lord first, and really, I think, putting the tapes together for Oscar Baker. Roger and I went over and picked up all the tapes that this man had had in his house, and we filled up a trailer with these things, and it just kind of struck us that here's a man that had devoted his whole life to distributing Oscar's tapes and trying to find the truth no matter what the cost. So this verse that we have, 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of this man's life and this man's dedication and this man's desire to want to know the truth and be willing to pay the price, we decided to use this verse and then for the theme for our conference this year. But when we compare people like him to what the Lord, or to what Paul endured, Paul did so much more. And then when we think about what our Lord Jesus Christ did, how he, as God Almighty, came down here as a man, humbled himself, and took on the role of a servant, it just doesn't seem to be reasonable to think that someone like that, someone like God, would do that, would give up his power, his position in the heavens, to come down and just be a man. But that's what he did. 33 and a half years he lived here, and he endured. It says he did everything that you and I might do except without sin. Every test, every trial, everything that we might go through. And so I was hoping when we picked the theme that this conference would be an encouragement. When Mike spoke earlier today, he was talking about being refreshed. And we've had some things go on with some individuals in our, we've even had some people in our family, I guess, that have kind of got into some difficulties. But it's just that it seems like there's been a lot going on, and it seems like we need to be encouraged, and we need to be refreshed, and we need to have the strength that we draw from one another. And so I'm hoping the theme that we picked will do that. Hopefully when we look at a little bit about what Paul endured, how he lived his life, perhaps it'll be an encouragement to you to do the same, to be willing to do the same, to pay the price no matter what the cost. And it seems to me like in my life, I've been blessed, and I've had, you know, I had difficulties like everyone, but I've been blessed, and I feel like that it's all worth it in the Lord, whatever He brings our way. And I believe this verse applies to me also, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And we, you know, we have to keep this in the context of what He's talking about. What these all things are. And so when we go back and start this and we look at a couple of verses, we'll see that that's what he's referring to. He's referring to those things. I think it's, as Ronnie read earlier, his being able to go through these changes, these hopes, these callings, and to be able to put that aside. Can you imagine working your whole life to be the best religious guy you could, going to the greatest scholars that were around, learning the scriptures, and the value that he had placed upon that, those degrees, and then all then the Lord revealing the real truth to him, the truth about the mystery, and then him saying, "I count that but dung," and so. That power that he had, the power that the Lord gave him to be able to accomplish the ministry, to keep him encouraged, to keep him, no matter what situation he was in, I'm trusting that the Lord will do that for us, no matter what problems we come across. And believe me, these things, people call and ask us to pray for them, and it does. Seems like it drains us a little bit, or it takes a little out of us where we don't feel happy like the world says that we should be happy. And yet I feel like that we're right where the Lord wants us to be. We're doing right what He wants us to be doing, and we're going to keep on keeping on as long as He supplies, as long as He continues to keep us going. So I want to start in verse 11. And as I think about Christ's life and my life, I don't feel like I have this lack. Or he says, not that I speak in respect of want. And I seem to be in a position where the Lord supplies my need. It's not that I have such an abundance that I have too much, but I feel like I have everything that I need. And that's what Paul says here. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and that means to be brought low, to be, imagine being cast into prison, being put in bonds, and I think the prisons back then were a little less than the jails and prisons that we have now, with the televisions and the music and all the things that they seem to offer the prisoners now. The jail that he was in was nothing like that, and not well lit, dark, those kinds of things that bring depression upon us. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full He says, I'm struck to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things. There's a confidence that Paul had that I think the Lord wants us to have. I know there's been some things going on with some of our brethren that I find a little bit disturbing, and I get down thinking about it, and then I'm reminded of this, what Paul says here: I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. And really, I think that should be who. That word, which, we're going to look at that. I think we can. I need that list a little lower. Just yet. Okay. Well, hopefully I'm not getting quite as much feedback now. I know that's a little bit annoying. So he says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. And so what that amounts to is, I think, in a nutshell, is that that the Lord will supply the energy. The Lord will supply the knowledge. The Lord will supply the wisdom. The Lord will supply whatever it is that Paul needs to be able to get the truth out, to be able to get God's plan, God's purpose out. And for us, and I think what Paul is alluding to is, it's the dispensation of the mysterion truth, the heavenly hope, the heavenly calling that Paul was looking to, and we should be looking to. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And then I'm going to go back through this word Philippians, not in a lot of detail, but just a little detail. Did I get off now?
I think we're going backwards here.
Going backwards. I don't know why I have trouble with my voice, but I know I do. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, it's because your voice booms. And for some reason or other, maybe it's because there were so many kids in our family, but I try not to be too loud. And usually I'm fairly successful at that, but I know sometimes that it's a problem for people that are a little hard of hearing. But I do think Pete made the proper adjustment there. I don't hear the feedback now. And I apologize for the annoyance. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19, "For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise." What a commentary on the religious people that... they seem to the glory in some of these things that are being said. He says, "For you suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." This is where he's going to be going through those credentials of, you might say, he spent a lifetime trying to prepare himself to be the best Pharisee he could. He didn't want to be just the average Pharisee. He wanted to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I." He could prove back in his lineage that he was, could trace his lineage clear back to the Israel. "Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I." And you can go back and see from Genesis 12 and see what all the hopes and promises that Abraham had and what was going to happen to his seed. And Paul's saying, that was my hope too. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." Because this is really kind of foolish when you start bragging on yourself. He says, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths often. You know, the question gets to be, did Paul really die? And did the Lord restore him to health again? And I think he did. When he said he's in deaths often, he was in those situations where he died and the Lord brought him back. And later on, he had that ability that he could heal. He could raise the dead. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Under the law, they could only beat him with this type of punishment 39 times. This happened to Paul 5 different times. And again, I'm not saying I want to endure these kinds of things. I don't want to be sort of like Ronnie. I'm not really looking forward to suffering. But Paul was able to endure those things because of the Lord had his hand on him. And I think the Lord has his hand on each one of us. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. When they stoned these people, they actually killed them. I mean, the way I understand this stoning process, it was one pretty good-sized stone that would kill you. And then some other people had some smaller stones, and they threw those in there to say that they were for this, that they approved of the stoning. So it wasn't a thing where they're getting beat with little pebbles and it took hours and hours to kill them. It was done fairly quickly, and the other people just threw in the stones. But at any rate, it was the type of death that no innocent person or no person who hadn't committed a violent crime would think that he would be worthy of or would be looking forward to. This happened to him 3 different times. He said, I suffered shipwreck a night and a day, and I've been in the deep. In other words, the ship wasn't any longer held together, and he was just in the water and probably hanging on to a piece of wood. He says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. I think of listening to these things, I'm wondering which one of these things that he feel like was the worst. Maybe this one of being his own countrymen, the people he had loved and had been working with, wanting to kill him. Fellow Jews, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. If this isn't enough, everything that's going on, he says, I also have the care of all the churches. And I kind of feel that burden from time to time, not near the way that Paul did, but I still feel that need of trying to get a book out on time, trying to get call somebody on the phone, try to write a letter, try to put a lesson together. Just circumstances which it's just it's the care or the need of someone else, not necessarily, you know, something that I want. And I think when he thinks about this care of the churches, it was a burden to him. And yet, I don't think he's complaining here. I think he's just telling you the facts. This is the way it is. This is my life. The only thing I think is strange about this is when you add all these things up, you're saying, well, why would a sane person want to do that? Why would they want to put themselves in this circumstance? And all I can tell you is when you're serving the Lord, that the blessings that you receive from the Father kind of make these things where they're not as bad or they're not as... they don't last or something. There's something about it that the Lord, when he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it means that the Lord will get you through it. That it's not more than you can bear. That it's not more than you can stand. He will supply the need because you're doing it for Him. You're doing it for the Lord. You're serving Him. He goes on to say, who's weak? Am I not weak? Who's offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my own weaknesses. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So, you know, he's listed all these things, and he's saying these things are true. These things have happened. They've happened to me. But I'm not weary. And he tells us not to be weary in well-doing. And so I don't think we should. So going back now to Philippians 4:13, it says all things. And I've kind of learned as I've done studies through the years that the all things, you have to look at the context to see which things he's referring to. And I think some of the things we just talked about and just read here in 2 Corinthians would apply. But we already read those couple of verses right prior to that as we started, so I'm not going to read them again. But I think those are the things that he's referring to. And basically, it's like he's got a job, he's got a mission, he's an apostle, he knows what the job is, the Lord has given him the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, and now he's determined to do it. So he says, I can do. And that means that he's able. He's able to avail, or he knows he's going to succeed. And he's going to be able to do this with not his own strength, not his own energy, but the energy the Lord will supply. And that's available. I think this is available to every one of us. I don't think this was available just to Paul. I think you might say that Paul being an apostle, being a commissioned, a sent one, that it had a commission, that the Lord was going to make sure that that got accomplished. But I think that can happen in our lives too. If we have a ministry, I think the Lord will see that it gets done. And if we're not willing to do it, and the Lord really wants it done, someone else will do it. The Lord's not going to be defeated. So the all things, it says including all forms of the declension, apparently a primary word, any, every, the whole, and thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, or whosoever. So he, in one sense, it seems like he's leaving nothing out, but I think it all, in the context, has to do with him getting out the truth. That it's getting out his apostleship or his commission. And then he says it's through. It's a primary preposition in a fixed position, place, time, or state. Paul was drawing all the strength he needed from Christ's power source. And I've put in my notes thinking it's endless energy that will accomplish the task at hand. I don't know about you, but I like being on the winning side. I like knowing that the task that we have to accomplish is going to get done, whether it's through us or whether it's through someone else, but it will get done. The Lord's will be done. It may be, we may lose a fight once in a while, but the war, we're going to win the war. This power gave him confidence and peace of mind that he could be successful in any situation that he might find himself in. And I've often said this, the Lord doesn't keep us from these problems. He just tells you, you don't have to go through it alone. I'll be with you. I'm going to help you. And you will be successful. You will succeed. The next word is the word Christ. And it's that word Christo. It's the Greek form. And it has the idea of being the anointed or the Messiah. So I want to go and look at some other places where this word Christo is used, or Jesus Christ. And really, as we think about him, we think about him as the Lord Christ Jesus. But We want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. My point of going here is just to think about all the things the Lord supplies when Paul says he's going to give him the strength. And I'm thinking this is more than being like Samson, where he was going to go out and just move or tear down buildings or knock down pillars, but that he was going to prevail when it comes to getting the truth out. So he says, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I don't know what you think about this calling, but to me it's one of the most important things that I think about. I want to keep my calling, his calling, in view. And I don't like it when someone tries to take that away from me, or tries to give me another calling, or tries to have me go in another direction. I want to stand firm, stand fast on this truth, his truth, his calling. He has a calling, and we're members of it, and it's not because we're worthy, it's just because he chose to do it, Like we said earlier, he has the power to have a plan, to roll out his plan, and it, as far as I'm concerned, the best we can say is that's a good plan. We're going to go along and we're going to identify with that plan. We're going to identify with our calling. So he says, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And we say, and we've heard it said several times today, it's our calling, and it is. But first and foremost, it's his calling. He's doing it. And our best bet is to align ourselves with it, to believe it, to accept it, and to stand for it. The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And if you weren't here for the Greek class earlier today, Mike brought out that that's a poor translation using that word saints there. It should have been and could have been the Holy of Holies, because that's where the calling is going to take us. That's the hope. That's where we're heading, not the earth, but the Holy of Holies. So it's his inheritance in the Holy of Holies. That's the place where we're going to dwell. We're going to dwell with the Father in the heavenlies, in the Holy of Holies. That special place that Israel could only have one person go into once a year here on the earth. He had to go in and do a sacrifice for his own sins before he could do the sins for the people. But it's a very special place, the Holy of Holies. He says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" The closest thing I can liken power when I think about power is electricity. And I know if you have too much electricity or too much power that comes through a line, it can cause all your everything that's plugged into that power to be destroyed or ruined. But I think when the Lord supplies the power, that he gives us enough power to get the job done. And I don't think that you have an overabundance of the power where you can just say, well, I've used this up, I'll just use the rest of it tomorrow. I think you get supplied the power when you need it, the right amount of power, and then you need to stay hooked up to the power source. If you unplug yourself from the power source, the power goes away. So the greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. This must have been one of the most difficult things for him to do, is this resurrection power. It must have been one of those things that he had to overcome the one who he had given power to control, that the death. Death being the worst. It's the end. You know, it's like the finality. And I know eventually even death will be destroyed. But he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So that's what the purpose of that power was used here for resurrection, for overcoming the dead. And you and I have a hope of resurrection. And you and I will eventually be resurrected, and we will escape death. He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Then I want to read a couple more verses. And he has put all things under his feet. I don't know if you think about the power structure, about like government, or all these things, but there's an order in these things. And I'm thinking he's putting these things in the right order. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I don't think that we can emphasize that enough. That position of him being the head is unique to his body. And we need to appreciate it, be thankful, and be glad that he has that position. He says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Then I want to go to Ephesians 2:5. Again, all I'm thinking about is those positions that the Lord has. That's who he says that's going to supply the need. It's going to strengthen him, is Christ. I'm just illustrating who this Christ is, some of the things that are attributed to him. He says in Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together, which means it's just he's made us alive with Christ. He says, by grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then I want to go down to, go over to chapter 3, verse 20. I mean, this to me is the power that he's giving Paul so that Paul can and will continue to teach and to preach and to give to others. So Ephesians 3:20, he says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, I don't know how many more adjectives he could have put in there. He's saying, you know, there's no limit. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, if Paul believed that, and if we believe that, shouldn't we be able to succeed? Shouldn't we be able to do what needs to be done? And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Then we want to go to chapter 4, Ephesians 4. In verse 15, Paul Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. I don't know about you, but that to me seems like it's a lot to put on us, or a lot to expect, or a lot to think, how that we can actually help one another, how we can actually encourage one another, so that we can, it says, who the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual, or the effective working is the way I like to think of it, in the measure of every part. So it's the Lord doing the supplying, that we can allow that energy to flow through us. We can allow that strength and that knowledge and that wisdom to flow through us. And then he goes on back there in Philippians 4:17. So he says, which strengthens. And again, I think it would be better to say who. I'm just going to get a few references to, read a few references to that word who. And the same word that they said which could have very easily been translated who. So in Ephesians 1:3. The same Greek word, but translated, who? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who? Not which, but who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And then the next one is down in verse 12, where it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then in verse 14, for He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition. Then the last word we want to look at is that word strengthen. That's the idea, to empower, to enable, to make strong. And so we want to go to Ephesians 6:10. This will be the last verses that we'll be reading. Ephesians 6:10. This is what I think Paul is alluding to here in Ephesians. Or in Philippians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And don't try to get your strength someplace else. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Sometimes we try to do things, and then when all else fails, we pray and go to the Lord with it. We're kind of learning, the older we get, to go to the Lord first. And not to try to do it in our own strength first. It just seems to be a lot easier that way. Just do it in His strength. Put on the whole armor of God. We think about it here as an apostle, a commissioned one, someone who God has His hand on, and yet He's saying that we need to put on the armor for protection. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. No, I don't think the devil has been defeated. I think he's still active. I don't think he's dead. And I think he works in the... He's the prince in the power of the air, it says. So he works in the airways. And we need protection from him. And it doesn't mean he can't... You know, that he can conquer us. But I think if we don't put the armor on, then we certainly put ourselves in a position to be weakened, because that's what the instructions, what we should do. This is how we are going to be strengthened, by putting on the armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And again, Mike was touching on this in his Greek class, the question gets to be how. I think the question he asked was, does Satan have access to the Holy of Holies? I don't think he does. I think this wickedness and this war happens here and now. That this is why we need the armor in the here and now to be able to stand, it says. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And it says to have your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I read something the other day that they're coming out with something now where they're trying to teach you the truth without using the Bible, using all kinds of other illustrations. I'm thinking, how foolish, what a waste of time. They're not going to get that accomplished. And this was coming from some religious group, you know, that was saying this is how you do it. And I'm thinking, we got the Word, let's use the Word. Let it do its job. And then finally he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So when you pray, look for the answer. Don't just pray and then forget about it. Look for the answer thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given. And so here's another area where I think Paul wants to be strengthened. He wants to have opportunities to speak and to share the truth. And when those opportunities come, he wants to make sure that he opens up his mouth. He says that I may open my mouth boldly. You know, not cowardly or not weakly. To make known the mysterion of the good message, for the which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think that's as far as I wanted to read. I trust that as we think about these verses, again, in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that we should imitate the pattern that Paul set. Maybe not be desirous, maybe to be tested the same way that he was, but be desirous if the tests do come, that we would be willing to stand up, stand for the truth, and to keep this hope and calling that the Lord thinks is so precious. It's His calling, and He wants us to think of it as being special and something that we didn't deserve, but something we should be thankful for. So let's close with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the strength that You give us. We don't always understand it. We don't always understand about tomorrow, but You constantly tell us just to trust You, to have faith in You, and to draw our strength from You. And we trust as we each think on these things, think about what the Lord has done, what He wants to do, what He's continuing to do, how He continues to flow out, that we might want to be a receiver, that we might want to be someone who would be willing to not only to listen to these words, but to live it. To live a life that's pleasing unto You. For we ask it through our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for His sake. Amen. Thank you for your attention.